If we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome, welcome, Dr. Bregan's wonderful audience.
Well, it's actually Dr. Ed Peter Ginger's wonderful audience. This is the first time Ginger has introduced, and partly because she has a stunning guest today to tell you about. But I'm going to give it right. Well, let's remind people who we are.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I'm a psychiatrist, and Ginger is the smartest person I know and a brilliant researcher. We've been working together, as most of you know, for 40 years, but we have been reformers since children. And someday we'll just do a show on our reform efforts. They go back very early, sometimes into early infancy. It looks like we're just standing up in some
early
interesting way.
Infancy.
I didn't expect to talk about this one bit. But there's a hint of a future show, the Infant Rebels. Quite amazing. Childhood is amazing, and the tinkering with children, the abuse of children, the institutionalized abuse of children, all of that is part of what we're going to be talking about with our guest. And why don't you introduce Juliet to the audience? You've been introducing her to me for weeks now.
Yes, we have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Juliet M. Engel, E-N-G-E-L. She's an M.D. She was a radiologist before retirement, and she's an amazing activist and one of the most courageous people I've had the privilege to meet. She was drawn to my attention and introduced to me first through J.J. Carroll and I think Elizabeth Nixon, but I'm not sure. Elizabeth and I have shared a lot of these concerns also about child sex abuse and so forth. But J.J. Carroll definitely put us together.
Government-sponsored, I want to throw that in. This is not just an ordinary show about some, you know, nasty man abusing somebody. We're talking about organized government abuse. This is what we're moving toward today.
Right, right. So Juliet is the author of Sparky, Surviving Sex Magic, which is actually her personal story of what happened to her as a victim of MK Ultra, and also because she was also a victim of her family in her childhood, how she forgot everything and survived the abuse, went on for to a very successful medical career, and gradually recovered her memory over decades, really, and then has spoken out against the abuse. And it correlates with a lot of documentation that's being released at this point from the federal government regarding the MK Ultra programs. And Juliet brought to me the links to the most recent documents that were released December of 2024. Which I'll include some of these links in our write-up that goes with this program so others can look at it also. Juliet, what a pleasure and an honor to meet you. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so grateful to be alive and active in this time period when the crimes of MKUltra and the American government are coming to light. And that people like you are engaging in the evaluation of that situation. And I think together we're going to figure out what to do about it. You know, thousands of people have been abused in the MKUltra program. This government file that came out in the National Security Archives on December 24th of 2024, when they thought nobody was looking, and includes 40 pages of dense data and information about the actual conception and how they carried out the program, who was involved, the people involved, places. involved in MK Ultra. It exonerates everything that people have been trying to say about things that have happened to them over their lives, and they've been ostracized and disbelieved. It's all true. It's all here. Thousands of people have suffered through this. Very few people my age, I'm 76, can live to tell about it.
Yes, that's true. One of the things that I find most interesting is the crossover between Peter's work and your experiences and now your work. Peter was really leading the fight against, he discovered and then led the fight against psychosurgery, the resurgence of psychosurgery in the early 1970s. And then later, as he expanded his understanding of the destructiveness of psychiatry as a whole, he went after electroshock, which turns out to be such a prominent aspect or a tool of the MK Ultra characters who want to use these abusive and destructive mind, brain destructive technologies to try and manipulate human beings. The lobotomies and the psychosurgery were basically stopped at the federal level. Is that right, Peter?
We stopped them at every level, basically. We stopped them in all the state mental hospitals, all the federal facilities, and in the little known Kamowitz case back where I testified in 73. And then the I lobbied for, created the Psychosurgery Commission, which then said it was experimental, which annoyed me, but it stopped it in clinical practice. They did leave it a possibility for experimental. So now occasionally in the past, a big place like Brown or Harvard that felt somewhat immune would try to do an experiment and do it experimentally. But basically, it's been shut down around the world. Now, but what this fits with is the amount of violence and threat I first ran into just because I was taking on psychosurgery blew me away. And now I'm understanding that much more deeply because of psychosurgery and ECT, along with things like concussions and poisoning with various drugs, were all part of this whole MKUltra. How what's the best way to pronounce that? I haven't said the word in a long time, MKUltra.
MKUltra?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's MK, Mein Kampf, because it is a It is a Hitler program, and Ultra means top secret in German.
I never knew that. Oh, my Lord.
Is that documented, or?
It is now. They talk about it in the archives. I've always said that, because when I was a little child, my handlers would actually use the book. So in terms of teaching us how to use psychic abilities and remote viewing, and we had sessions on the beach in Mexico where we were opening portals to aliens and our beings, and it was all in the book.
Would you tell us and our audience a little bit about your about that experience as a child? Because the whole experience of what happened to you, just a brief summary, because we haven't addressed that yet. And I really struggled reading Sparky. I read your book, Sparky, and when I got to the end, it was wonderful to know your incredible resilience and ability to survive your early years. But when I got to the end of the book, I thought, I've just forgotten everything at the beginning. I literally forgot the first few chapters, and I had to go back and reread the first few chapters, because it's so easy to get popped off and blow off of these kinds of terrible things that happen to children. And I think that that's us. That's culturally wide, very widespread. Is we want to be able to know, we want to be able to face the worst and fix it if we can. I think many people do, but we get pushed off of it for some reason.
And
Please tell us a little bit about your earliest time.
Well, in answer to what you're saying now, one of the main reasons that I've become extremely vocal about this is that what I see is our entire society has been mind controlled to accept the abuse of children, to accept the sexualization of children, to basically accept our own extinction, because we just casually mention, okay, 300,000 children came over the border and disappeared. That should be, we should be up in arms about that. But I can't even get anybody from government or law enforcement, except for JJ, to really address that. It's like it isn't, it can't get into people's minds, which means that our society is conditioned, as well as probably many, many other things. But to my background in this short, it's a long story. I mean,
We can
I'm
do
old.
more than one. We can do more than one show.
Okay.
I think we're having a kind of a little jaggedy beginning because both Ginger and I have had so much feeling stirred up in us by learning your stuff, and that we're not as focused on you as we should be. We have 6 minutes left to this session. Why don't you just start anywhere you want, which is how we usually begin. But today we got sort of wrapped in ourselves, and just start where you would like, and we'll continue into the second session with you talking about your background, your experience. Make
Okay,
sense?
I'll condense it to one decade a minute and give you my life story.
Well,
I
now
was
take we have 5 minutes now, but we're going to go back to you for the whole second and third segments.
Right.
Right. So we have
Okay.
time. So I want to
Okay.
relax you now to talk about your experience.
Well, I was born in 1949 in Geneva, Illinois. My family were all government involved in intelligence agencies from the beginning. My great grandfather was the commander of the Knights Templar for the United States. His sons were all worked in OSS, were all Shriners, and that went on to the next generation as well. And my uncle, my mother's brother, is one of the founders of the NSA. So I come from a very heavy intelligence background, of which I knew nothing. I knew nothing as a child. I knew nothing about this. So my father sold me to one of the men that is pictured in the National Security Archives for MK Ultra. George White sold me to him, made me watch him count the money, and he watched while George White sexually abused me. And that was the end of my relationship with my father. So, and that's what they do to girls at six. They separate you from the protection of your father. I was already separated from the protection of my mother. I was very much my own unit from then on. Then for the rest of my childhood growing up, I would be in school looking normal or fairly normal. Social services always got involved with my family whenever I was in school, so it couldn't have looked that normal. So I'd be in school for half the year, and the other half the year I'd be in an annex, what they call in the MK Ultra documents, a safe house. And at those safe houses, I was subject to all kinds of experiments. And they decided fairly early on that I would be a scientist. They said I would be a Vril girl, Vril, which is some kind of a Nazi scientist spy. And I should say that my family was very active in Project Paperclip. In other words, they were all German speakers. They were at the Nuremberg trials, five of them. And they were active in bringing Nazi scientists that I know of, and other prominent Nazis who should have been hung for war crimes to the United States, giving them new identities, getting them settled, new jobs. So the family was involved in that all the way, and that's how they chose me. I'm still not real clear on that, but so I grew up half the time in normal school and then half the time in an annex. However, we moved all the time, so it was never the same school. I'd be in one school 6 months, and then I'd come back from an annex. I'd be in another school for 6 months. So It took a lot of adaptability and a lot of stress and work on my part. But what it did is it gave me the ability to completely compartmentalize my life, so that when I left one, I was completely in the other. And that's part of the creating multiple identities. And a lot of the experimentation they do, you can do that with extreme trauma that forces a person, if they're terrorized enough, to go into their most primitive mechanisms, most primitive areas of their consciousness and of their minds, where they're running entirely on instinct. And I got very good at that. And then in high school, by the time I was, most of my life was spent in various areas of Southern California. Quite a bit of it was spent being taken over the Mexican border to Ensenada. And it's not, this isn't in Sparky because I hadn't remembered it until actually I was talking to JJ Carroll, who is a Border Patrol agent, and started remembering the times I'd been brought over the border from Mexico to
Wow.
California.
Wow.
Yeah, he helped me do that. Yeah, I'd be taken with a group down to the beach to the I've traced it down to the Autonomous University of Mexico in Tijuana on Rosarita Beach.
We have about 1 minute at this point. Go ahead and tell us just a little more, and then we'll pick right up after our break.
And there we lived like the children lived like animals, and at night we'd be out summoning aliens and opening starports, and I'm sure drugged out of our minds. So I'll leave us in Mexico.
Oh my. Well, we'll be right back.
How old were you at that point? We're leaving you.
Not more than eight.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
All
so
right,
I think.
we'll be returning with Juliet M. Engel, MD, in a few minutes, a few seconds.
Feeling the strain of rising costs? One of the biggest offenders isn't gas or groceries, it's healthcare. Over the past decade, health insurance premiums have skyrocketed by 47%. So ask yourself, is your money working for you, or are you stuck in the old sick care system? The Wellness Company offers a better way: holistic, natural, and preventative care without middlemen or red tape. With their One Wellness Elite membership, you get incredible value for just $100 a month, two free medical-grade nutraceuticals, free prescriptions on over 800 medications, free 24/7 concierge telemedicine access, discounts on supplements and emergency kits. No tricks, no hidden fine print. If you're already spending $100 plus a month on health expenses, this membership can save you money while providing real, useful care. This isn't insurance, it's well care. Listeners get an exclusive discount with code OUTLOUD at twc.health/outloud. Take control of your health today.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Healthycell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We're back with Juliet Angle, MD, we're going to just let her continue with her amazing story. Pick it up right where you are at 8 years old and gazing at stars and just being influenced to have all kinds of hallucinations and other activities going on. Probably LSD involved.
Oh, yes, yes. And in the security file documents, they talk about the relationship between the MK Ultra team and Eli Lilly, and how the Eli Lilly, who had supplied the drugs for the Nazi experimentation in Germany, contracted with MK Ultra and provided them with tons, they say tons of LSD.
So free. Sort of, I learned from reading these papers you provided us free. I was back here again. It keeps stirring me up because I went toe to toe with Eli Lilly. They faked a trial. They did all kinds of stuff to protect themselves and their products. Go ahead. So Eli Lilly, we got Georgetown involved. We got Cornell, where I am involved in these papers. Just amazing.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you the incident that got sparked in my memory when I was talking to JJ. And that is, I was a child, so time spans are lost to me. What I can remember is smells, places, what I ate. And I remember being like a wild child on the beach for not long enough to lose all my clothes. My parents had taken me down with a suitcase and left me there. And by the time they came back to get me, I had no clothes. Nobody knew where my clothes were. I was completely black from head to foot from being sunburned and suntanned. And my hair was so matted and full of salt and dirt that they had to shave it off eventually. But my middle class white looking parents had to take this child that was caked in dirt, had no clothes, and looked like didn't look like part of the family. They had to drive me back to California. And the only clothes I had, my father put his shirt on me. So my father was wearing an undershirt driving across the border with this suspicious looking child in the back. And we got to the border patrol. And of course they looked in the car and they said, "Who's that?" And of course they point to me. And my father turned and looked at me like he had never seen me before in my life. And neither one of my parents could remember my name, my birthday, nothing. And I was just sure that they were going to take me out of the car and I'd be down there in a Mexican orphanage. And so I spoke up for myself and explained who I was, where I lived, that these were my parents, that this is my brother, that, you know. And they took my parents out of the car for a while, and then they came back. And I don't know what happened then, but I got back over the border. But just the horror of my father looking at me, like he'd never seen me before in his life. And I could see his wheels turning, like maybe this is a chance to get rid of me.
Oh my.
So I stuck up for myself. Again, I didn't trust my parents at that point. And I was my own unit. So my goal was in protecting other children. You know, I think that's a way of claiming power, is to protect others when you can't protect yourself. So I protected myself. But that was just part of it.
That was just at 8 years old.
Yeah, it wasn't. It could have been up to 9, but after that, I was into the Sparky story, which is when I was 9 and 10. But yeah, and I can remember who was there, and I know that Governor Brown was there. He was. They had a big barbecue on the beach, and all these official people were there. And
now, when are you talking about now?
This would be in about 1957.
And how old are you there now? You've jumped ahead.
I'm sorry. I was 7 or 8. And And I'm trying to, I think it was several times down on the beach, but there was one time that I was there for long enough to like look like a foreign child.
In Mexico.
In Mexico, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a problem I have.
What you remember is big, really, from the adults who were there standpoint. It sounded like some big rave party or something for them, with a bunch of wild, unmanaged children running around who were available to be abused at the
Exactly.
time and who were also being fed drugs, including most likely LSD, and who were obviously not taken care of at all during those time periods.
And I used to wonder why, because children were sacrificed. And I can say for sure that on the beach in Rosarita, there was a chapel there, some kind of satanic chapel, and they had sacrifices. They did this, and they would sacrifice the children from the orphanages. And the children like me, and this is part of what scared me about getting all very dark and looking like a Mexican
Oh,
child.
right.
They're the ones that got killed, and the ones that looked like me did not. And I realize now it's like in reading the documents, they actually talk about the period of time when there's a little note in there where they're getting worried that if they keep doing these experiments on American children, that we might survive, figure this out, and sue them.
Yeah.
So they make the choice in the early 60s that they're going to start bringing in foreign children. And I know they did that, and they called them all Mexican, even though they were not. They could have come from all over the world. They brought them in for their experiments, and these children had no rights. They were not covered under the Constitution. They weren't covered under the Bill of Rights. They didn't have family connections. So they were the worst treated, the worst abused. The horrible things that have been done in the name of our government are inexcusable.
I want to quickly, for those of you who are following our work, point out that what I learned today from actually getting immersed in this before you came and talking with Ginger, and what I realized was that our CIA, at least in these segments of our CIA, were operating from the psychological spiritual viewpoint of the global predators. They know no identification with American children. They know no identification without humanity. They have these twisted ideas in their heads.
They certainly aren't connected to the Constitution.
They're not connected to God, obviously. And it's a part of that extreme power that wherever you get extreme power, whether as I've been writing recently in the empires, like the American Empire before it got absorbed into the global empire in recent times, and it's exactly what Trump is fighting, is the global empire and the declining American empire mixed in with it in this awful mess, that we're looking at the equivalent of these monsters who run the things in the world now with the deep state people who carry out their most atrocious activities. And it's completely globalist. They bring in the Nazis, they work with the Nazis, they make their name up from Mein Kampf and all of this bizarre stuff. And it's coming together in my head in a new way today, folks, as I'm listening and as we're talking and as I've been thinking since this morning and working with Ginger.
One thing I'd like to add is that I said over the weekend that psychiatry and psychology are the handmaidens of the deep state and
Yes.
of the empires and the globalists. And they are some of the most important control factors. And what you're sharing with us, Juliet, is the exact kind of situation. You were victimized and used by this whole control mechanism of the intelligence agencies, and they obviously were doing behavioral and psychological and psychiatric techniques in abusing you and other children. But the flip side of that is the adults who were involved, who some of whom you remember, who were there on that beach, somebody was taking pictures and somebody was rolling film back in the 70s. They didn't have cameras. They didn't have cameras on iPhones. They didn't have iPhones, but someone was photographing and recording everything because the abuse of these children and up to today are used to control hundreds of thousands of people, I'm convinced, throughout our government and our society in different walks of life and different institutions. The basest, most evil impulses of human nature are being controlled by these intelligence agencies through this kind of mechanism. So it ties together in terms of how in the world could have COVID happened? How in the world could nobody have spoken out, or so few of us have had the courage to stand up and say things against it and so forth? And how in the world could it be forgotten so quickly? There are control mechanisms keeping heads of state and congressmen, congresswomen, and other important individuals who might otherwise blow the whistle, keeping them quiet.
Also, and the information has been available. Like, I listened to your information during the COVID situation, and all the information about mRNA goes all the way back to the 60s, as you know. And Sidney Gottlieb, who was in charge of the MK Ultra program, the part, at least Monarch, which is the part the children were involved in, he was known as the mRNA poisoner for the CIA, and that's because it was his. I mean, that sort of says it all, doesn't it? They were looking at mRNA as a bioweapon back in the 1960s. Wow.
And you just mentioned Monarch as the name of Sidney Gottlieb, who is the real child abuser. Oh, my Lord. And you had hinted at this, but it wasn't this specific. The machine was called Monarch that Ginger and I maybe slowed down because we really went after it in the beginning, which was a device to put on the heads of ADHD children to keep them, from being hyperactive, just another mind blunting electrical stimulation of the brain that was very highly promoted. And then we went after it and we got some other people involved, and we haven't heard a lot about it, but it's still going on. And look, they had to know when they were naming it Monarch.
Yeah.
These people aren't stupid. They probably knew on some level that was the name of Sidney Gottlieb's project. You had told me it was somehow related to the CIA or something, but we didn't know exactly. But
let's, you're right.
Let's continue.
I want to hear more.
With
Julie.
More. Yeah. Because we're talking here to a highly trained physician who's gone to Russia and done all kinds of things. We may just have to have you back very quickly for another show.
I'd be glad to.
We'll do that. But why don't you continue with your story? We are so stirred by your story that we just keep wanting to. It's actually been an important warning to me integrating some of this stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I'm learning also because during the period from, in 1966, I'll jump ahead to that. I was in high school. I was a junior in high school. I was in Palo Alto, California. I was, the annex at that time was Stanford Research Institute at several different sites where they would have me doing experimentation. I was in a class by Alexander Kerensky, who was the first president of Russia, because the Hoover Institution was there. Anyway, a whole lot of very important people in California were involved at some level of my training and orientation. So I guess in some respects, I'm a fully trained agent, but I left. In 1966, I knew that my fate would be sealed as forever a slave in the CIA structure. How I got out was... first of all, mentally, I had to break my link to this cult and have the courage to go forward as an individual, not really fully understanding what that meant, but knowing that I didn't, whatever happened, I did not want to continue in this cult of madness, and I would never be part of harming other children. And so I was in Palo Alto High School. I snuck out at night and went to a lecture by G. Edward Griffin. Do you know him?
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
He too has been on this show.
Yeah. He was giving a talk at the local library so I could bicycle there. I went there on my bicycle. I was 15 years old. I snuck in with the crowd trying to look like I belonged to somebody because I was the only kid there. And I listened to every word he said and I wrote it all down. And not too long ago, I found it. I have my notes that I wrote in 1965. Wow. And it was his lecture on the communal society versus the individual. And it really was the first time in my life that I had gotten permission from an authority figure to be an individual. It entirely changed my life. And I
decided. Does he know this? He's still alive. Does he know this?
Yes. I've sent him a picture from the journal. Yes, he does know this. And at that, he said at that time, you know, he was just talking to women's clubs and whoever would listen. And I said, you'd never know who's listening. And there was a little 15-year-old kid in there, probably just horribly dressed and trying to look like part of the crowd, and took in every single word and went home, wrote it all down in my secret notebook, wow, which I wrote backwards. So, So from then on, I was determined to get out of there, and I mounted it. My first big level PSYOP was to, and this isn't Sparky, how I organized my escape. And then when the opportunity arose, I was at a record promotion party at Esalen. I was dancing and pause there. Well, about to escape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. We're going to be... God, we'll be continuing with Juliet. Maybe we'll even learn about her becoming a physician, most amazingly. But I think we're going to have to look at this as our part one program.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, good. We'll be back very shortly.
In just 2 minutes per day, you can reclaim your health and vitality and cut your grocery bill in half with one simple, convenient product. Our doctor-formulated Green 85 Juice Formula's powerful dose of ultra-concentrated essential nutrients stops hunger in its tracks and supplies your cells with what's missing in the grocery store food. It's packed with wheatgrass, corella, dandelion, moringa, spirulina, broccoli sprouts, acai berry, beetroot, probiotics, enzymes, vitamins A, D, K, B12, just to name a few. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/outloud today. Get nature's super multivitamin Green 85, empower your immune system, cut down on your grocery bill, and save 20% on your first order.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Hi, I'm Dr. James Bragman, board-certified EO in internal and geriatric medicine. Do you or someone you know suffer from airborne allergies due to pollen, pet dander, and other particles, which aggravate and irritate the sensitive nasal passages? Are you tired of the side effects of common allergy products, such as drowsiness, feeling lethargic, and dry nose? Well, now there's Cofix RX. This revolutionary product stops airborne allergy symptoms, all while avoiding the side effects of the usual allergy remedies. Shake, spray, and cleanse away your allergy issues with Cofix RX. Click on the Cofix RX banner ad in the American Out Loud shop for 20% off your next order of Cofix RX.
This is Dr. Peter Bregan with Ginger Bregan and Dr. Juliet M. Ango, M.D. This will be a part one show because so much has been going on in Ginger's mind, in my mind, in Juliet's mind as we're putting together our different ways of approaching these issues. This has been, the whole morning has been really exciting for me. And I want to give you exactly the document we're talking about that documents Juliet's experiences and connects to directly to psychosurgery and electroshock, which direct to my lifetime work. And we will put up a link to it, but it is the National Security Archive. And the archive has produced this document, which is CIA Behavior Control Experiments, Focus of New Scholarly Collection. And this place is actually linked to GW, which is quite interesting. And it's an archive that's putting out a lot of stuff on the CIA. And this came out in December of this recent year. It has received almost no attention. It was seen by me only recently through Juliet, through Ginger.
And Juliet, you were telling us your story and how you broke free from this mind control cult of the CIA. So please continue with that.
Yeah, part of being a teenage MK Ultra Monarch Vril girl was to dance and sing and carry on at record promotion parties, sometimes political rallies and parties, but always with the goal of getting young underage girls who are very scantily dressed in the crowd, getting the adults worked up, getting them naked and getting them compromised. And so that's what I was doing at a place called Murphy Hot Springs outside Monterey. It's now Esalen, which is a very fancy spa. And I'm sure it's much nicer now. At that time, it was a hot springs and a farm and a cornfield. And so we were out in the middle of a cornfield. And when my handler came through the gate, there was a sealed gate with all kinds of security. But he drove through a gate. He had a clicker. And the long and the short of it is I got in the car when he passed out and took the clicker and headed north. So Monterey was south of San Francisco. I just got on Highway 1 and went north. It's in Sparky. So it was my desperate ride to freedom in a little sports car with my handler passed out next to me because I couldn't get him out of the car. He was too big. And I had arranged, I was too young to go to university, but I couldn't stay in the program any longer. I knew my fate was sealed. And so I'd arranged to get into University of Washington early. I had no money, no backing, no permission, no place to live. It was just going on faith as an individual. And so I drove all the way to, actually I ran out of gas partway there, discovered that the car was had a roll of bills because my handler had been selling LSD in town, probably in Carmel and Monterey. Yeah, they did a lot of that. So their goal was to get LSD everywhere and get everybody addicted to it. And that they did with the help of Eli Lilly. And I also discovered that the car was full of green stamps. And I bet you guys know what green stamps are.
Well, I remember green stamps from my own childhood. I wondered, and when I read the book, whether they actually were soaked with LSD, if that's how he sold it.
I don't know. I didn't taste them, but.
Oh, it's a good thing.
I cashed them in. I cashed them in and got everything I needed to go to college and bought books with the rolled up money and paid my tuition. So,
my Lord.
So I went to school and in the first day of school, all dressed up like a co-ed, like I thought the co-eds would be dressed, I became a different person, completely shut down everything. I remembered nothing from before that and became 100% co-ed because in college, nobody asks.
Right.
Nobody cares about high school or who's your little brother, or, you know. So I started my new life and decided almost immediately that when I discovered there was a university medical school there, that I'd do that. And again, it was.
What a courageous, incredibly strong act that was. And I think you were so protected by God to be able to.
Must have been.
Oh my goodness.
Must have been.
But
I should have died many, many times.
But so courageous, Juliet, and so courageous of you to actively work to remember all of this and then to expose it through your story. Thank you.
I feel that I can't do anything else. It was an extremely emotional moment for me to go through these archives in the last month. I got them in January, towards the end of January, to go through them and just see everything exonerated, like to the timeline, to the names of things, I mean, it's still overwhelming to me. And then talking to JJ, starting to remember more, and then getting to know Kathy O'Brien, who has evolved far past where I am, where she's actually being able to teach people how to get through the PTSD of having been in this situation and how you find peace. Once you find peace, then you can move forward in your life, no matter what your situation is. So I'm still on that road, but because of my connection to the medical field, I worked in psychiatric hospitals. I did a psych rotation. I could see that there were links, that there were things happening. But it's going to take someone like you from the outside of that to start putting it together. And I will give you all the information I have and anything that I can remember, because I'm remembering more now than I ever have before.
There were huge links between ordinary psychiatric treatment and what you went through. Just plain ordinary psychiatric treatment takes away memory, takes away independence. It comes very hard to do what you did, which is to be a unit in unto yourself. This remarkable way you became the singular unit. But psychiatric treatment, just as an outpatient can do that to a person to some extent, inpatient. And the state mental hospitals actually were training grounds and participation grounds for the CIA, we now know. Been learning more about that. There's so many links here.
I have a lot of questions that I want to ask you in another format. Like, what happened to all those enormous asylums that are much too big for 300 psych patients? The whole asylum system in the United States doesn't make any sense.
No, that is a bit of a history. But basically, once they got chlorpromazine and the basic antipsychotic drugs, then they could just send the people anywhere they wanted because they rendered them docile as long as they could get the drugs into them.
But I was on the psych unit at University Hospital in 1971 when they closed the state psychiatric hospital and just sent all the patients out on the street.
Yes.
It was a disaster. Yeah. It was just an absolute disaster. Suicide, murders, attacks. And I was the medical student on the 10th floor psych ward when that was happening. And
that'd be another thing to cover in our discussions.
Very important.
Very important period.
How was the evolution of psychiatry and what part did that play in all this? And
absolutely,
there's a big plan underway here. And I think the people that were running it are largely dead. And I think that the plan itself has kind of gone out of control. I think to a large extent, it's just running on, and another thing, much later, I was involved with the Council on Foreign Relations. I was,
how did you get there?
That's
like God's hand. God's kind of taking you around to look at everything. Yeah, go ahead.
But I remember I was invited. They were recruiting me basically, and I was invited to a series of meetings, and one after another, like the groups would come in and talk about the script. And the fact that the script had run out and they didn't know what to do, and they had all this money, they were doing programs, but you know, nobody was writing the script anymore.
That's very interesting.
This is true. This is true. This would be in like 2012.
And what was the script about? What was the content they were talking about?
I think it was the mind control, genocide.
The whole globalism control.
Yeah, everything I was learning as a trainee in the Monarch program.
And
if you and I talked for a while, I'm sure I could tell you a lot.
We will do that. We'll do it on the air. We'll do it in private. We'll do that.
And I hope, yeah, and people listening, I hope it lights some light bulbs in their minds, and people start realizing that it's time to become individuals. Yeah.
In our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, we dove deep into the globalist background. Bobby Kennedy actually read and gave us an endorsement when his own book came out on Fauci at the same time. Like he didn't worry about competing at all because he sold 1 million copies. So he didn't have to worry. But he gave us an endorsement about being the deepest dive into the globalist organizations at the basis of all of this. But now this is a whole area that we've been thinking about somewhat over the years, and Ginger probably even more than me, of the deep state and all these folks. And that will be in the next book. You can be a participate in not, it's like 3 books from now where we're going to take another look at globalism.
We've got a chance of, you know, with all of this falling apart.
Yeah.
We have a chance, however we take responsibility and rebuild is how it will be. I mean, I was in Russia for the fall of the former Soviet Union, which is another stage of my life, and watched what participated in what they went through. So I could leave, but they had to endure it. And it's what we're facing now, where all your institutions, the things that you've believed all your life, and all the dogma you've followed, all the inhibitions that have been upon you, they were refused they could never practice free speech and they were denied religion. So all of that had to come back, but they didn't know quite how to do it or what to do with it. I think we're sort of in the same position, but we're just starting to realize how oppressed we are. So
that's a really powerful comparison.
Uh-huh. Yeah, your words are particularly important. And I say that having followed you for a long time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And joint words, me and Ginger often.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Wow. Folks, those of you listening, this is to me a very interesting, it's kind of day in our lives, really, as we're through Ginger. And it's interesting, we're very close to JJ. And that's another connection that we've had several shows with JJ, and JJ and I have some activities planned. So there's just a lot of cross fertilization going on, and JJ now is very much involved with Brannon House and his organization. He's got a 5-day-a-week show there. Brannon has been a leader looking into globalism, especially from the Christian viewpoint, for decades. While I was still focused on the pharmaceutical industry, he was talking about globalism. So this is I'm beginning to see a kind of a new coming together. And what we'll have to look out for, by the way, is for massive interference again that we had during the first get-together of the Freedom Fighters. That's when, you know, Malone came in and tried to take over our group, sued me and attacked McCullough. So we have to look for new attacks going on, because I think something new is evolving here, but we can't hide ourselves under a bushel. But this is the first day that I've thought about a whole new thing evolving. And I think it is. JJ is just a powerful new leader.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah, I think of him as a young leader. I think he's getting near 50.
Looks young to me.
Well, He does.
and yes, and folks can't see you. You, Julia, you look very good. I want people to know that you don't look like you've been through hell. You don't look like you've been rendered incompetent or anything like that.
You look like you were a professional woman all of your life.
And
Well,
now,
I suppose I have been.
and you have
and
been,
you have
yes.
been, and you just look beautiful. You look good. I just, it's really great to have you coming in with us. You, Ginger, we got 1 minute, 50
I'd like
seconds.
to
Go ahead.
just remind us all that something that you said that just struck me so strongly, and that is you were being invited into the Council on Foreign Relations, which is one of the apex groups that tends to try and control the world. And you said they were starting to fly blind, if you will. They had run out of script, they'd run out of direction on exactly what to do with their programs. And that was the early teens, like 2012 or right around then. That's so
That's
hopeful.
building up to COVID too, though.
And that's so
They
hopeful.
needed COVID to kind of get a script.
Well, and I want to remind our listeners that despite how bleak and how terrible all of this news is, it's good news that it's coming into the daylight. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. And that's really true. And thank you so much, Juliet, for being one of the shining lights that's bringing this out into the future.
Where do people get in touch with you? Your book, Sparky, is everywhere, I imagine. Ginger has been avidly reading it to me in our evening debriefings and reading it to herself. Where do people get you most qu quickly and easily?
Well, just Google my name and I'll pop up and you
Juliet, spelled like it is, M
J
Engel,
or just
E-N-G.
Juliet Engel. And my website is www.juliet, Juliette, Engel, Engel, just all one word, .com. But if you can Google my name, you'll get my books.
Okay. We'll be seeing you soon again. God
Yes, we
bless
never even
us.
talked about Russia.
No,
Next
we
time.
got a lot to do. God
We
bless us
do.
all. More and more, I think. God bless us all.
Oh, yes. Amen.